Well, good morning and welcome to all, especially our guests who join us here for the offering of this Mass this Sunday morning at the Church of the Madeleine. Later today, in addition to everything else that's going on, there is a brunch for new parishioners. Whether you've yet to register or not, please come to the rectory at about 11:30. We'll have a brunch there with other parishioners and some of our current parishioners that would love to meet you and to welcome you here at the Madeleine. Also this Tuesday evening, I've been asked to give a talk to both the men and women's group about the pilgrimage that I was on this summer in Spain, the Way of St. James. And so everybody is welcome to come at 7 o'clock in the parish hall. It's fitting that many of you are there since so many of you prayed for me and were in a real sense part of that pilgrimage as well. As some of you already know, my sister-in-law, Linda Brooks, died on Friday night at home peacefully. She had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in March and was at home with Dan, my brother, and her husband of 41 years at her side. So a peaceful death. The last words that Linda spoke to Dan were the day before, the words, "I love you." So what a wonderful gift and blessing that she bestowed upon him. Her funeral will be next Saturday afternoon in Oklahoma City. My brother wants me to express to you his gratitude for your prayers, for the cards and the other words of comfort that have been sent to him and Linda over these last several weeks. It has touched him deeply. And it's also a great sign of solidarity with someone. You know, elsewhere in the New Testament, St. Paul talks about that as the church, as the body of Christ, we rejoice with those who rejoice, we weep with those who weep. And what better way to be in solidarity, in a real sense, a sacred union with other people than to weep with them, as well as to rejoice with them. And I know that you have done that, expressed that to my brother through the extension of who I'm, for me as the pastor, and for that I'm grateful. But solidarity is something that is important for us in our Catholic faith. Particularly, it's one of the great pillars of what we call the social justice teaching of the church, that we express solidarity with others in their need, in their joy, in their grief. It's easy to do, to show that solidarity, when those that are in need look like us, talk like us, pray like us, vote like us, live in the same neighborhoods that we might live in, that children go to the same schools as those in our family. It's easy to show solidarity when someone in need is kind of one of us, in a sense. It's a greater challenge to show solidarity to those who don't look like us, don't talk like us, don't pray like us, don't vote like us, who live in different neighborhoods, who children go to different schools. But we're called to show solidarity in their need, nonetheless, not because they're like us, they're part of our group, but rather because they are in need. And therefore, are to be in solidarity with them. Another pillar of that teaching of the church is what we call subsidiarity. Basically, it means that when it comes to problems, local problems concerning politics or economics, the people on the local level are best equipped to solve those problems, to work them out, as opposed to have some position from on high impose a one-size-fits-all type solution. Subsidiarity also is important. And we hear that today in the gospel, not about economics or politics, but from Jesus on how do we as the church solve our own problems together. How do we be a church that is reconciling one another and the world to God, because that's our purpose as the church, is to bring others to encounter the risen Christ. But as one deacon that I know says, the church would be such a happier, nicer place if it wasn't for all those people. But of course there are people. And as people, there are times that we will be in conflict, disagreement, or that one will sin against the other, whether intentional or not. So how do we resolve that? And notice what Jesus calls us, challenges us to do, which is pretty much the opposite of what we usually do. Because normally, when we have a problem with somebody, we're going to talk about it. to pretty much everybody other than that somebody. We're going to complain and gripe and criticize to everybody except the person that we need to speak to and to try to reconcile things. Notice Jesus doesn't say ridicule, embarrass, mock. He does not say, do this in order to prove a point, to win the argument. He says, rather, we're to do so out of love, out of concern for the other. Remember, the Catechism defines love as willing the good of the other for their own good, not for ours. We're to do this face to face. And then if that doesn't work, to bring in more people gradually in order to, not to win the argument, but to bring about reconciliation, bring about repentance, bring about reform, bring about new life in Christ. And the motivation is to be done out of love. But 9 times out of 10, maybe more than not, we don't do that. It's much more easier to gripe, complain, to gossip, and so on, to light somebody up on social media. And there is perhaps a short-term benefit from that for ourselves. We call that venting. But in the long run, it's pretty counterproductive. In fact, it's poisonous. So Pope Francis more than once has talked about the sin of gossip, particularly on the parish level. And I've been in places, thankfully not here, where it doesn't take too many people to fall into that sin to disrupt the life of a parish. Jesus calls us, however, to do something different. Not to take the easy path, but to do something that is hard. But as is often the case, the right thing to do is also the hard thing to do. Because if I was asked for a show of hands, that I say, if you like someone telling you that you're wrong, raise your hand. I don't think I'm going to have too many hands go up. Or let's change it around a little bit to say, if you like being told that your favorite sin is actually a sin, raise your hand. I think even fewer hands are going to be raised. I've been on both sides of this equation, having to give that correction one-on-one and having received it. Neither is particularly pleasant. But if the motivation is out of love, instead of trying to win the argument, trying to impose or to show I'm smarter, I'm better, I'm holier than you, if it's being done out of love, out of concern, then we're far more likely to be open to what's being said. And out of humility, to accept it and say, well, maybe this person has a point. Elsewhere in the book of Psalms, it says, when a good man corrects me, it is a blessing. You probably say, if a good woman corrects me as well. But I think even harder than it is to receive this kind of correction is to give it, to have the courage, have the faith to offer that correction. And to do so not out of frustration, not out of anger, not out of pride, but out of love. Because it's much more easier to say, to stay silent or to complain to everybody other than the one who needs to hear the word of correction. Because it's not just a nice thing to do. Ezekiel the prophet reminds us that our own salvation may depend on it. Paul the apostle tells us that we are to be that church that is reconciling one another, that church in which we love God and neighbor. And Jesus is telling us how we can live this out. And it's not the easy thing to do, but it is the right thing to do. Because Jesus reconciles us to God the Father through the blood on the cross, and that wasn't easy either. Jesus continues to reconcile us to God the Father and one another through the sacrifice of the Mass, the gift of the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ offered to us in the Eucharist as we gather today in prayer and in worship and in sacrifice and in faith. May our hearts be open to receiving this gift of grace. May our hearts also be open in humility, those times in which out of love, someone corrects us to see that, yes, my life needs to change. Yes, I need to do something different. Yes, I need to repent. I need to turn again to Christ and have new life in Him. May we open this gift of grace so that we are a people of faith, a church that is known for reconciling one another and all the world through Christ our Savior to God the Father.